This is Phil Farron. And I am driving home. And it's cold. Whew. It's cold for us. Let's put it that way. It's cold for us. Oh, just a second. Hold on. I just got pinged on my phone. Oh, no. Okay, that's just a notification. No problem. We were supposed to have someone come out today to work on the dryer in the little rock house we have out on our property that we keep rented out. And I was hoping that was him, or I don't know. I'll see when I get home. I got a really good appliance guy. I'm cold. Woo! Wake up, Phil. I told my really good appliance guy, I said, look, if it's, you know, $100, $150, just do it. Let's get it done. Move that off the list of to-dos. But I haven't heard anything from anybody. So I'm hoping it got done today. If it didn't get done today, then I don't know when it's going to get done. I don't know. It will be fine. Anyway, it's been a good week. At the moment, I'm a little cool. And it's actually Wednesday today. It is episode 244. It is the day before Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. And Wednesday is the day that I fast. And so I'm a little underpowered right now because obviously I haven't eaten anything since yesterday evening. And so I'm not exactly firing on all cylinders, which is why I usually don't do this podcast on Wednesdays. But we're going to make it through. It's going to be great. I think I mentioned that I'm working through some tutorials by Kara Sionet. I think that's how he says his name. I'm not sure. C-A-R-A-S. And his last name is I-O-N-U-T. He does really beautiful work in Photoshop. Fun stuff. I mean, just beautiful work. And so I've completed, he had this tutorial thing that if you did one and he, you know, said, yeah, you did a good job on that, he'd give you the next one for free up to 10. And so I just got the files for tutorial number 4 this morning. And he told me, this one's hard. And I wrote it back. I said, well, I saw it and it looked hard, but I said it's a beautiful picture and I just want to see how that's done. So we're going to see. I'm probably not going to be able to spend much time on that because it is Thanksgiving and we've got relatives will be coming down. I might be able to sneak in a little time here and there on it and see what we can do. So anyway, so I'm looking forward to that. The tutorials have been really fun. Sometimes they go really fast. But that's what the pause button is for. And, you know, this business of being able to look over someone's shoulder as they're doing all this really incredible stuff is really interesting. I mean, there isn't a lot of explanation as to why he's doing things. Or the different settings that he's using. But, you know, I can look that stuff up. So to be able to just watch and duplicate and just, you know, get it in the muscle memory of, oh, yeah, try this, try that, try this. Yeah, it's pretty interesting. I kind of get the feeling that I'm the first one who's gotten this far with the tutorials, which is fine. He's, you know, he's talking about me possibly writing up a little blurb about my responses to the tutorials and, you know, maybe making some pictures where he puts his side by side with mine. And which is fine, it's fine. So I told him I'd be very, very happy to write about my experience doing the tutorials. So we'll see, which... I don't know how many people he gets come by his website, but, you know, might be able to have him put philfarron.com down there. And if that's true, then I got to run back over to my website because I haven't rebuilt it yet since it's been down, and just, you know, get a bunch of my stuff out there. Yeah, so we'll see. we'll see. Have to find some time to do that as well. Aside from that, had some good conversations with friends this week. One of my buddies had gone on vacation and was still kind of recuperating from that, so we didn't have breakfast, but I've had some nice chats with friends, and it's been a good week. It's been a good week. Whoa, hold up, Phil. Not there. Don't run out into the middle of the road when there's cars coming. Okay. This week, actually last week, I think, I came across an article. And it wasn't really telling me anything I didn't already knew. No, but, you know, it's always interesting to me to read articles about the differences between genders and how they approach things and the reactions that are gender specific. I love all this kind of stuff because it helps me as a writer to have a framework from which I can build out my characters. And it helps me to come up with some general design principles for when I'm building up my characters, of deciding what are the deeper motivations my characters are having when they do whatever, X. Not sex, when they do X, as in X and Y variables. So it's interesting to me to read these kind of articles and go, yep, I can see that, I can see that, I can see that. Wow, Walmart is jammed. On my way home, I'm having to take a detour, and I'm looking at the Walmart Super Center, and there is masses of cars there. I had told my wife earlier in the week, since I do the grocery shopping for the family, I said, please, please, please don't make me go to Walmart on Wednesday afternoon. So I was kind of pushing a little bit, and she got her list and things together, and I did grocery shopping on Friday morning with my parents, and then I was back on Monday afternoon to get a few more things for Thanksgiving, and I was there yesterday afternoon to get a last two little thingies and got that all taken care of. And now I don't have to go to Walmart. Yay! So, it makes me happy to drive by there and see all those cars and know that I am not in there. Anyway, so it's very interesting to me. So I came across this article, I think it was in the New York Times, on their website, not sure. And the name of the article was A Cold War Fought by Women. And I thought, well, this sounds interesting. And it was reporter was reporting on some new research that has been done in terms of how women treat each other. And specifically, the question they're trying to resolve is, how aggressive is the human female? They follow a researcher named Sarah B. Hardy. I think that's how you say her name. Her name is vowel challenged. Her last name is H-R-D-Y, which it seems like there should be a few more vowels in there somewhere. yeah, I'm a little punchy because I'm tired because I haven't had any food, and it's cold. Anyway, so this particular research has been looking into this question for multiple years, and three decades ago, she concluded that the competitive component in the nature of women remains anecdotal, intuitively sensed but not confirmed by science. Now, she says the science has come a long way since then. And she mentions this in her introduction in a recent issue of Philosophical Transitions of the Royal Society, which that issue was devoted entirely to the topic of female aggression. And she credits the, quote, stunning amount of new evidence partially to better research techniques and partly to the entry of so many women into the scientific fields once dominated by men. The article was saying that now that researchers have been looking more closely, they say that intrasexual competition is the most important factor explaining the pressures that young women feel to meet the standards of sexual conduct and physical appearance. Now that's actually pretty interesting, and we'll get to that and back to that in a minute. I'm not sure that I agree with the next statement, but they were saying that the old doubts about female competitiveness, that it derived partly from an evolutionary analysis of the reproductive odds in ancient polygamous societies. Hold on, let me just back up and read this for you. The old doubts about female competitiveness derived partly from an evolutionary analysis of the reproductive odds in which ancient polygynous societies in which some men were left single because dominant males had multiple wives, so men had to compete to have a chance of reproducing, whereas women, virtually all women, were assured of it. In other words, what he's saying is there were doubts because in a lot of older societies, you had men who were taking multiple mates, women, and that left a shortage of women, and so men had to compete to get a woman, and so that made them much more competitive than supposedly women who were virtually assured of being able to reproduce. Now, we'll get to this whole reproduction thing in a minute. So some people were saying there would be no evolutionary reason for a woman to be competitive because she was virtually always assured of being able to reproduce. And the counter to that was saying that, well, women have their own incentives to compete with one another for more desirable partners and more resources for their children. And now that most people live in monogamous societies, most women face the same odds as men. In fact, they face tougher odds in some places, like many college campuses, with more women than men. So what they're basically saying is that this competitiveness among women is really due mostly to the desire to reproduce and the desire to have good resources for your children. Okay, I don't really agree with that, but we'll get back to it in a minute, because whatever it's based on, the researchers are now willing to say that, yes, women are very competitive, which doesn't seem like news to me, but they actually did some interesting experiments about this. One of them, what they did was they brought pairs of women into a laboratory at McMaster University for what was supposed to be a discussion about female friendships. So that's what they told the women. Oh yeah, let's bring you into a room and let's have you talk about female friendship. I love these sociological experiments, because you never know what you're really being tested on. And I love that. It's so much fun. So what they did, though, is the real experiment actually began when another young woman entered the room asking where she might find one of the researchers. Okay, so this young lady isn't doing anything to be antagonistic. She's just walking into the room and saying, could you, either of you, tell me where I could find so-and-so, the researcher? This particular woman was carefully chosen by the researchers. She was chosen because she, quote, embodied qualities considered attractive from an evolutionary perspective. In other words, a low waist to hip ratio, clear skin, and large breast. Now, here's what's interesting. Sometimes they had her just walk in wearing a t-shirt and jeans, and other times they had her walk in wearing a tight-fitting, low-cut blouse, short skirts, and go-go boots. So they said, they documented it all, and they said in jeans, she attracted little notice and no negative comments from the students, whose reactions were being secretly recorded during the encounter after the women left the room. And after the woman left the room. So the dressed woman, who was dressed differently after she left the room. However, when this young woman walked in wearing the other outfit, the tight-fitting blouse with cleavage, short skirt, and go-go boots, virtually all the female students reacted with hostility. They looked at her, looked her up and down, rolled their eyes, and sometimes showed outright anger. One asked her in disgust, "What the blank is that?" Mostly, though, the aggression happened after she left her room. Students began laughing about her and impugning her motives. One student suggested that she dress that way in order to have sex with a professor. Another said that her breasts were about to pop out. So, what's going on here? Well, what they were saying is that the results of the experiment seem to coincide with evidence that this, quote, mean girl form of indirect aggression, i.e. you wait till someone leaves the room or their back is turned and you go about it, is used more by adolescent and young women than by older women who have less incentive to handicap rivals once they marry. And they would say that's because they have a reproductive mate. Other societies have shown that the more attractive an adolescent girl or woman is, the more likely she is to become a target for indirect aggression by her female peers. Quote, this is an interesting quote. Quote, women are indeed very capable of aggressing against others, especially women they perceive as rivals. The research is shown also shows that the suppression of female sexuality is by women, not necessarily by men. In other words, stigmatizing female promiscuity, also known as slut shaming, has often been blamed on men who have a Darwinian incentive to discourage their spouses from straying. But that is a little problematic. Oh, someone's coming out my drive here, so I'm going to have to navigate around them. Oh, it's my daughter or my son or somebody. It looks like my son. It is. We'll just say hello. Where you know, buddy? Keep going. Oh, no, you're fine.
Doing the podcast.
Oh, yeah, podcast. It's Wednesday. I'm not coming home tomorrow. So did the guy ever come? Did
Mike?
Bummer.
I was just wondering when everybody was coming into town. Maybe we can talk to them.
I think they're coming afternoon-ish and then evening-ish.
Okay.
So, supposed to be here. All right, see ya.
Enjoy the podcast.
Yes. That's my son-in-law. The famed guest of the one-year anniversary of podcast. Anyways, so men supposedly were doing the slut-shaming because they had a Darwinian incentive to make it less likely that their wives were going to run on them, run around on them. However, you know, the researchers also noted that they would have a Darwinian incentive to make women more promiscuous. So why should they tell women not to be promiscuous when that might get them some more action? I'm backing into my garage. Instead of that, these researchers are saying that women intrinsically know that sex is coveted by men. Therefore, they slut shame to keep women from giving it to them very freely so that they can maintain kind of their edge. Because they realize that, hey, you know, we got a good thing going here. Man will pretty much do anything we want if we dangle out the prospect of having sex with us out there. Which is kind of interesting. Anyways, the conclusion of the article was that studies... Let's see... Oh, this was also really interesting. Studies have shown that women's ideal body shape is to be thinner than average and thinner than what men consider the ideal shape to be. This pressure is frequently blamed on ultra-thin female role models, features in magazines and television, but Christopher J. Ferguson and other researchers say it is mainly the result of competition with their peers, not media. They've actually done studies where they've watched women and looked to see how much influence there was over on their own self-attitudes. Like, for instance, are they watching the svelte actress on Scrubs or the not-so-svelte star of Roseanne? And what they've discovered is what they see on television doesn't affect them near as much as if women were in the same room with an attractive woman, or they had peers for which they felt inferior to, that was far more impactful on women's attitudes than what they saw on television. They said sexual competition among females seems to increase due to circumstances that lead... Dr. Ferguson, who ran an experiment with female students, when she wore makeup and sleek business attire, the students were less satisfied with their own bodies than when she wore baggy sweats and no makeup, and they still felt worse when there was an attractive man in the room with her. Sexual competition among females seems to increase due to circumstances that tend to be particularly common in affluent societies, Dr. Ferguson said. In traditional villages, people married at an early age to someone nearby, but young men and women in modern societies are free to postpone marriage as they search long and far for better options. The result is more competition because there are so many more rivals, and there is no longer any scientific doubt that both sexes are in it to win it. Okay, well, so I found all this stuff about aggression in women, you know, interesting, and the methods of aggression that of women that are used. That's all interesting. What I found also interesting is they kept trying to tie this back to an evolutionary imperative to reproduce. And honestly, I think that's the more complicated motive. Maybe buried down there somewhere, women are thinking, oh, she's attractive. She's going to take away the person I want to mate with. I don't think that's quite it, though. Just like when guys are looking at a woman, guys are thinking, oh, she's attractive. I'd like to mate with her so my children would be really good looking. I don't think guys are thinking that. Really, really, I don't think they are. I think they're just thinking, wow, she's really attractive. I could use her to control my sperm count. That's really, I could get some pleasure out of her. That's pretty much it with guys. Now, does that help propagate the species? Sure, it helps propagate the species. But I don't think men necessarily are going after more attractive women because they think they'll have better offspring. And I don't really think that the primary motivation in women competing with each other is that they want to get the best genetic pool for their offspring. Here's what I do think, and I've mentioned this before. I do think that men trade safety. No, men are willing to provide safety in exchange for sex, and women are willing to provide sex in exchange for safety. I think what a woman is looking for is much more immediate than being able to produce her offspring. I think what women, okay, I'm going to say in general, don't, this is, I know, stereotypes. I think the general stereotypical approach, and one of the drivers for women to look to mate, is to have a protector and to have some security. And if you look at it from that perspective, it makes a ton of sense that women would be aggressive and would, in fact, feel hostile towards someone that could more easily attract a protector and potentially take away their protector. But there's also a flip side to that, and that is that if women move away from the concept that they need a man to provide for them and to protect them and to give them safety, if they move away from that concept, I think what you would see is female aggressiveness dying down. Because I honestly don't think women have much trouble finding someone to mate with and have children with. I just really don't think, I mean, there are, that's a huge, huge issue. Maybe they can't find someone that measures up to whatever high standards they might have. But I think the more immediate need is for protection and safety. And for financial security. And if women, as they move into the workforce, become more and more comfortable with the idea that they can have their own careers, that they can make their own money, that they can, you know, blah, 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 I think what you'd see is some of this sexual competition kind of slipping away. I read an article, interesting article, about Japan and how that young people there are waiting longer and longer to get married. And I think it was also that young people, they were having sex less and less often. You know, that the women were perfectly happy working. They didn't want to get married. They didn't want to be stuck in the house. They were providing for themselves. They liked that. And, you know, if they really felt the need to have a little sexual release, then they'd go out to some bar and pick some guy up and have a one-night stand, and then they'd just go on with their lives. And I think in that type of scenario, you would see a reduction in the amount of aggressiveness between women, because if I think most of this aggressiveness just in women just comes from fear. And if you can start working on those attitudes, I think you could make a big dent in this. I don't know that my daughter, at least I've never heard her express it, has ever been really competitive and catty in terms of talking about other women her age. Because she was always raised, and hopefully we provided for her an environment where she could understand that she was her own person and that she could make her own way in life if she wanted to, and that she didn't necessarily need someone else. so that everything would be okay. And if she didn't have a man in her life, that, you know, she would just have to run around and be afraid all the time. That wasn't what anything that we tried to instill in her. In fact, we tried to instill the exact opposite. And so it's very interesting. It's very, very interesting. Anyways, I apologize if this has been a little more scatterbrained than normal because I'm pretty tired. But happy Thanksgiving, everyone. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.